This is a sustainable living show. John Butts will be right with you. We're having a little technical difficulty.
Welcome to the WMNF Sustainable Living Show. Sorry about the technical problems, but I think we got them solved now. WMNF is Tampa Bay's community radio station, where every Monday we bring you an educational discussion based on sustainable topics. Your hosts today are Tanya, and I'm John Butts. Patty Perkey is answering, or is running the board, and Lamar and Clark are in the back answering the phones. First off, I'd love to thank our generous listeners and supporters and all the volunteers here and our dedicated staff. And one thing I always kind of miss is those great people that are on the board. That's one of the toughest jobs here, and I really appreciate everybody that helps keep WMNF the best radio station in the world. Hey, you want to learn a new way of buying local produce? Well, hey, stick around for the next hour. We need your comments and suggestions. We always do. But first up, we're going to talk about an event coming up in February concerning the west coast of Florida. One principle of permaculture is that very important edge between ecosystems. Joining us today is Tracy Love Tippin about Hope Spot. Tracy, you there? Hello, Tracy?
Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me?
You're in the other room. I can't. I'm sorry, Tracy. You there?
No worries. I am here. Can you hear me?
All I can think about is, you know, I hadn't done this show in a while, and the last time I was here about a month or so ago, I'm going, dang, I can't hear nothing. And I didn't have the headphones on. But we had quite a bit of confusion here, and I'm so sorry. But first off, maybe tell us, what is Hope Spot? And it sounds like the city in Dunedin is very involved and very concerned about our environment.
They are. The city of Dunedin has been a wonderful partner with Blue-Green Connections with regards to the Hope Spot. So, yeah, a little bit about Hope Spot. A Hope Spot is an area that's been designated part of the ocean or the waters that has been scientifically proven to be critical to the health of the whole ocean. So, or I should say ocean, not oceans, because it is all really one large body of water. So, Dr. Sylvia Earle is the founder of Mission Blue, and she actually grew up in the city of Dunedin, Florida, so it's very near and dear to her heart. And Blue-Green Connections is a nonprofit organization based in Dunedin that was formed in May of 2019 in order to nominate our Gulf Coast waters to be a Hope Spot. So we nominated the area between Apalachicola in the north all the way down to 10,000 Islands in the south, along with many other local conservation organizations, research institutions, government agencies like the City of Dunedin, and just individuals who really wanted to see this designation. And so it was awarded the designation of Hope Spot in August of 2019. And now we have that in our backyard here. So it enables us to use some global resources by this international organization, Mission Blue. And it really just enables us to achieve our goals as far as keeping the waters healthy. So pretty special. The event that we're having to celebrate the Hope Spot is going to be, well, we have a couple of different events. One is a festival in downtown Dunedin on February 12th. And the other is a gala at the Fenway Hotel overlooking the...
My headphones went down.
Conscious and eco-friendly aware. So we'd like to do a call for vendors and artists or speakers. And, you know, I know that appeals to your listeners. So thank you, first off, for having us. We really appreciate that and giving us this platform to discuss the festival.
And there's some cool things about this event, right? Like, this is your first attempt of being a zero waste event, right?
That's correct. Yes. So
I would love to hear a little bit more about that.
Okay, yeah, we're really excited about that part because our goal as an organization is just to raise awareness around sustainability, and then obviously that goes towards protecting our lands and waters. So if we can all implement some more sustainable practices, that's good for everybody. So for this festival, we're trying to highlight all of the organizations who are working towards ocean research and conservation, and also just eco-friendly vendors, just trying to bring everybody up if we can. We'll be requesting all vendors using certified compostable materials if they have to give out any single-use items. Like the food vendors are going to be using compostable plates, bags to be either recycled, reused, or compostable. And then we're collecting all of the food waste and organic waste at the end of the festival, and we're going to bring it over to Rosebud Continuum, the Sustainable Education Center, to have it soaked and ground and put into the biodigesters to turn into renewable energy and fertilizer. So that's pretty exciting. And then we also have some university students from both the University of Tampa and South Florida that will be giving some education about the whole process at the event, as well as Dr. T.H. Culhane, which I know you guys have had on your program before, to talk about food waste. Yeah, he's wonderful, right? He's talking about the food waste and the anaerobic digestion. So that's pretty exciting. And then, we're going to have a water refill station there and have reusable water bottles and mugs for purchase. And
I cut out a little bit in the beginning. Did you go over what a Hope Spot designation is? Like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, so it was, I briefly touched on it. It is a designation that is assigned by a group called Mission Blue. That's the international organization that designates Hope Spots around the world. And they pretty much, what we did was accumulated a lot of scientific information regarding different ecosystems that we have here and the different endangered animals. And it goes off to a committee of scientists. Many of them are from the IUCN. Those are the ones that, you know, designate different species as being endangered or protected or what have you. And then they evaluate all the information and they say, yes, okay, we, you know, given all this information, this area is deemed critical to the health of the whole ocean. So we really need to do everything that we can. Mission Blue will do everything that they can to support us in our efforts. However we see that to be.
So is the effort is it protection and restoration and improving the waterways, or is it something else?
So they will help us in whatever efforts we see fit. So this isn't just Mission Blue. This is any of the research institutions, conservation organizations along the Florida Gulf Coast. As Blue Green Connections, our primary mission is to get people to practice sustainable activities and educate people about how special our waters are so that people are more, you know, more apt to implement these actions.
And
we participate in restoration activities and beach cleanups as well.
No, that is marvelous. No, that's just great. And I posted the website on our Facebook page, Sustainable Living WMNF through our Facebook. But
wonderful.
You want to give people your website and maybe how to contact you if they want to either go to the event or get involved, that would be great.
That would be wonderful. Yes, our website is bluegreenconnections.org, and there's information about the festival right on the front page of that website. If there are any vendors out there that have sustainable products or are just implementing sustainable practices or exhibitors, please get in touch with us. We've got a variety of hands-on activities from anywhere from Clearwater Aquarium, Zoo Tampa will be there. We've got Tesla test driving stations. It's going to be a really fun event. Lots of hands-on activities. We have a lot for kids as well. We've got a student entrepreneur section to encourage kids to, you know, be open-minded and become entrepreneurs and learn more about all of this. So should be a really... Yes, and if I could real quick thank our premier sponsors, the BP team of Keller Williams Realty. Please visit our website, check it out, and if you need to get in touch, you can email me at tracy@bluegreenconnections.org. We would love to have you, and thank you for allowing us the time to speak about it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us on the Sustainable Living Show. So you're listening to the Sustainable Living Show here on WMNF Tampa. Today we just spoke with Tracy from the Hope Spot, and now we are going to be speaking with Zach Correa. Zach is from Lemongraft. So, Zach, thus began Lemongraft. So, Lemongraft is an award-winning design, and he did some extensive research in doing this whole creative process. So, Zach, could you explain to us exactly what is Lemongraft? Zach, welcome to the Sustainable Living Show.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
Sorry, audio went out on my end. I didn't hear the question that you asked.
Just that if you can kind of explain what is Lemongraft.
Yeah, sure. So Lemongraft is a peer-to-peer platform for buying and selling local homegrown produce. So a lot of people, when I share it with them, they find a good association with like Airbnb. So this idea that, you know, before Airbnb, if you wanted to rent out property, you'd have to be, you know, doing it at scale, or you'd have to be like a real estate investment, you know, person, and you'd go to brokerage companies. But then they're like, well, you have a bedroom, then you can do it. You just plug into our system, and you can also, you know, rent out and be profitable and contribute to your community. Same thing with Uber. Uber's like, well, do you have a car? You know, you don't have to be a taxi driver. Do you have a car? You can do that. So for Lemongraft, it's kind of like saying, like, hey, do you want to grow food for your community? And people are like, oh, well, I'm not a farmer. I can't do that. It says, well, do you have a lemon tree? A lemon tree in your backyard? Do you have grass? Like, you can grow something, right? And you can contribute in a very small way. And so Lemongraft is just about creating the network for those peer-to-peer interactions that allows everyone to contribute to their food system in a decentralized manner.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a really interesting concept. It kind of reminds me, now, with farmers markets, a lot of the small farmers are using the farmers market to sell their product. But this is a little bit different, where, like, you don't need to grow hundreds and hundreds of tomatoes. Or, like, you could literally, like you said, have a small lemon tree. You have 50 lemons, and if you want to sell it, you could be a grower. If you have a rosemary bush or an oregano, you know, herb, like, you are able to offer those things to your neighbors.
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, the reason why we formed this, you know, my background is in architecture, right? Like, I'm an architect. I'm not a farmer I don't really know much about produce and stuff. I have a little homestead here that I've been working on for the last few years, but I do know a little bit about permaculture and, you know, I'm building a little food forest in my backyard here. But other than that, I mean, the interest really arose out of architecture and developing small sustainable communities. And so I had realized at one point in this process that we could never successfully design sustainable architecture for communities without first establishing sustainable infrastructures. And sustainable infrastructures, I started forming a team around this idea. Of sustainable infrastructure, and we realized that the starting point for any community regarding its infrastructure had to be food. Everything else was built upon a sustainable food system. And so we kind of shifted gears from designing buildings and, you know, other sorts of sustainable architectures to saying, okay, well, what does this sustainable or regenerative food system look like? And then started modeling that system, because architects, we work in systems all the time. So, like, really approaching it from a systems perspective and saying, well, what does that system of sustainability look like in regards to food within a community, and then started modeling that after biological systems, and that's where we got to this decentralized model, and eventually, you know, Lemongraft was born.
So it seems like it's kind of a return to a time before the age of grocery stores, where stuff is shipped. I remember I saw recently when someone posted, it was like a picture of a pears. And like a jar of pears, and by the time that jar of pears got to you, went to three different continents, not even like cities or states, but continents. So the idea of buying locally grown produce is more sustainable, not just because it's locally grown, but like that's a lot of fuel and, you know, that is wasted. I mean, why is this needed, do you think?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, to be honest, there are some really great researchers out there studying our global food systems, and there's some indicators. There's quite a few indicators that are leading to the understanding that our food system's probably going to collapse in the next 5 years, maybe 10 years at the most. But COVID has kind of accelerated that. And if you talk to people in the industry, they're realizing that the supply chain is breaking down. There's this kind of progressive failure that's taking place. And so, food doesn't really ship well. You know, in order for you to ship food, you have to harvest it early, so the produce never really reaches its maximum nutrient density. You lose maybe half of it in the whole supply chain process from farm to your table, and you have to grow it in monocultures. But monocultures, I'm sure I'm sure anyone in the permaculture community understands this already, but monocultures really are really great at certain things. They're really great from a business perspective. Like if I'm creating an Excel spreadsheet for profitability, the monocultures are great for maximizing my profit because the good thing that I can get from, let's say, an orange tree is the fruit, the orange, and I can sell that. But an orange is a biological system, right? It has benefits, it has pros and cons to it. It has strengths and it has weaknesses. And so, if I'm only analyzing its strengths, which is let's say, or the benefits from it, which is like the orange, then in my business model, what I want to do is I'd want to maximize that. So I'll scale that up, and that's where how we get a monoculture, which is where I say, let's just plant a million of these, right? And then we'll have a million times the production, and we can sell that and capitalize on that. However, what we're not measuring for is all of its weaknesses. And so with the lack of biodiversity, we create a very, very frail and weak system that is now very susceptible to disease, susceptible to many issues that we then come at it and we say, oh, we have this issue, let's engineer a solution to solve for that issue. But we're not looking at the root cause of the underlying structure that is causing these systems. We're just looking at the effects and saying, let's engineer a solution so we'll just pesticides, insecticides, we'll hibernate, put these things in oxygen-deprived chambers and store the food, and then, yeah. So, I mean, it's a really terrible system for food because we end up, in the end, as consumers, getting food that's very, very nutrient deficient. And it only looks like food. It's not actually food anymore, like it from a nutritional perspective. And so that's just one piece of it. You know, that there's a lot of pieces to it. I mean, I'll touch briefly on
the land. So it sounds like to me, between like the nutrient deficiencies and the supply chains breaking down, it kind of seems like our food system right now is pretty broken. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, on life support.
Yeah, I mean, so this is a way of kind of fixing locally, like a small portion of it. Now, when you say homegrown, like people, I remember I was just speaking to people about this, and some people had a confusion between a farmer's market and what you're doing, and they're really similar. But a farmer's market has a lot of, like you said, like local farmers, but a lot of the times they go there in hopes of selling their produce, right? Like this way, it's prepaid. So you're only getting, farmers are only picking what is already prepaid. Is that correct? And then also, can local farmers, is it only local homeowners, or is it local farmers that can participate too?
Yeah, local farmers can participate as well. And homeowners who are, you know, let's say growing in their yard or growing in someone else's yard or something. So the system is actually really efficient for all sides of the transaction. So from a grower's perspective, I now am incentivized to grow more than what I normally would have grown because it's easy now to list that produce online in my community and say, okay, I'll list it. And then only if someone buys it do I then have an order. And then I'll go and harvest that and deliver to the nearest, what we call lemon drops. I'll explain lemon drops in a minute. And so I've already gotten paid effectively before I go and do the work of like harvesting and delivering. And then whenever I do deliver, I don't have to sit around all day hoping, you know, like for example, with the farmer's market, I think farmer's markets played a crucial role, and we actually do partner with a lot of farmer's markets, so I'm not trying to say that it's one or the other. But with the farmer's market, some people do not have the time or the money because they're not selling enough to rent a booth in advance, pay for that space, and then show up, set up, wait around for, you know, longer periods of time, not knowing if they're going to sell anything. And then by the end of the day, you know, maybe they didn't sell out everything that they harvested because they harvested an unknowable amount. You know, they're like, I think I can sell this many. And then they go and but maybe they don't sell it. So then they come home and all that stuff is now going to waste potentially. So from a grower's perspective, it's really great. From a buyer's perspective, it's also really great because I'm buying produce while it's still on the plant. And that stuff is being harvested for me. So he actually gets harvested the same day that I come and pick it up, which means that it is the most fresh I could ever get produce on the market. Like, I can't get produce any fresher because no one else in the industry is harvesting produce just for my order. And so it's actually, you know, from a nutrient density perspective and freshness perspective, I mean, it's very, very good for the buyer as well. And then with hosts, that's the third role in the platform. These are people in the community who provide a venue for this transaction to take place. The host kind of, their venue has like two places that it lives. It lives online on our website, lemongrass.com, and it lives kind of in a physical form in the community. So Lemon Drops are operated by our hosts, and they can take many different forms. So someone might have a tent at the edge of their driveway, and so then they schedule their drop off times and pickup times and their hours of operation. They say, okay, here's the days that I can operate. Here's the drop off window for growers. Here's the pickup window for buyers. And then growers will then find Lemon Drops in the community. When they go to list their produce, they say, oh, I'll list my produce through all of these different Lemon Drops. These are the ones that I'm okay, you know, traveling to. Their hours make sense for me. You know, all that stuff.
Cool.
So then that's how they get products. And then the buyers, when they shop through these Lemon Drops on the platform, they make their orders, and then they see the available pickup time, and then they can go and pick up their orders that way. But a host never actually buys the produce. So for a host perspective, unlike a typical broker who buys the produce up front and then resells it, hosts are not resellers. All they do is just provide the distribution. They facilitate
location,
the distribution.
Yeah. So I want to remind our listeners that you are listening to the Sustainable Living Show here on WMNF Tampa. Today, we are talking with Zach Correa from Lemongraft, where we're discussing selling and connecting local homegrown food with the local community. If you have any questions, give us a call at 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. John, you got any questions?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was wondering, Zach, is this in place anywhere right now? Is there any place in the United States where they're using this system?
We're actually launching a test community. We're in the process of launching a test community in the Tampa Bay area, Hillsborough County. This is kind of as far as Brooksville and including St. Pete, a bunch of different areas in Tampa. So that's where we're doing it. Right now, people can sign up to become a grower and start, you know, populating their gardens and their inventories. And then we already have about 8 different Lemon Drop locations that will be opening up soon. And then we plan on opening up the market in limited quantities just to test out the system, make sure it doesn't break. And then when it does, you know, because that's the way beta tests work, then we fix it. But we'll be opening up in about a month, we anticipate.
And I was going to say, you know, when I first heard about this, I thought you were saying lemon grass. And it's lemon graft. You know, as I told Tanya before the program, I kind of was thinking about this. I've been a local grower in this area for quite a while. And I know a lot of people grow stuff and, you know, like you say, have oranges. But as far as people that, you know, actually produce stuff, they're kind of hard. They're few and far between. And I'm really curious to see this work. I always thought that, you know, local, you know, obviously sustainable living and local produce. This has been one of our topics on and on. And you know, my suggestions were always like community gardens but I think even community gardens could use this. That, you know, people that have an excess of whatever can kind of tap into your system.
Absolutely. We're actually working with a lot of community gardens as well. They love this because what it does is it gives them an opportunity to actually fund, like it's another revenue source to fund their garden. And the truth is that they don't even have to grow all the produce that they sell. They could even be a host, right, and be a facilitator for the rest of the community that they service, where they bring people into the community garden, teach them how to grow things in the community garden, and then send them home and say, now grow some stuff in your yard or something. And then we can also be a lemon drop where you can sell your produce through any excess that you might have. The way that we see this on Lemon Graft, you know, I think you made a really great point, which is how feasible is this, right? If Lemon Graft is relying on the common, you know, citizen to be able to grow, I mean, how feasible is that? How many people are we actually going to get who can grow enough to provide the food that is needed for the community? And I think that is an excellent question. My answer to that, and our answer, you know, at Lemon Graft, is that ultimately we have to change the definition of farming. If we are going to move forward into a sustainable agricultural system, we have to reimagine what is the future of the role of the farmer. And currently, the way we see the farmer is kind of separate from the consumer, right? Like the consumer is over on one side of the market, the farmer is over on the other side, right? The farmer supplies food, and the consumer, the buyer, consumes that food. But they're separate. They're not the same thing. And what we've realized is that, you have to remember, we're coming from an architectural perspective. So when it comes to development, farmland is only getting pushed further and further and further away from civilization or from civilized, developed communities, right? Like cities and suburban centers. And so what's happening is land is getting broken up into smaller and smaller plots. And so the idea of the conventional farmer having, you know, 10, 50 acres, 100 acres, 5,000 acres, that's not going to be very possible, or I should say, that is entirely dependent on our current supply system or our supply chain. But the supply chain is proving not to really work anymore. It's in the process of collapse, and so we need a new system in order to continue the food supply moving forward in a more sustainable fashion. So what at Lemon Graft, what we're proposing is we're saying, well, perhaps the solution is not in having the farmer being separate from the consumer, but perhaps the farmer is kind of broken up into many, many parts that the network of consumers in the community all make up. So we all can contribute at the very, very basic level. Like, for example, you know, I met a contractor who grows pineapples, and she's a contractor. She's not a grower, but she has hundreds and hundreds of pineapples in the season because she's been doing this for a few years now. She doesn't know what to do with them. You know, I meet plenty of people like that. And so what we've been finding is that if we can give individuals in the community a way to take their excess to market, then there are actually quite a few people there's a lot of people in the community who like to grow things, who have an enormous amount of excess whenever they grow things. And then they can contribute that excess. And now if a lot of people do that, then we get a large diversity of produce in the community. But I think the most important part of this is that what Lemon Graft is effectively doing is we're stitching together many, many little plots of land, like a quilt. And we are building an agricultural system from little tiny scraps of land throughout an urban environment. Because currently we don't see any way around development. Like that's going to happen. The money is going to buy up the land and it's going to break it apart into smaller plots. And so we need a way to restitch those plots of land together to be able to maintain a food producing landscape within our urban environment.
You know,
I think that is essential to reimagining the role of the farmer in being kind of among the community, not being separate from the community.
One thing we've always kind of talked about on this program, and you know, I've said it to a lot of people, I think in the very near future, if you're not involved with our food, your personal food system, you might be real hungry. And this local food, you know, I think every neighborhood, you know, like there's all these green spaces that, you know, are yards and they're, you know, people are mowing grass and doing all kinds of crazy stuff with it when we could be growing stuff in our inner cities and feeding our own population. And I think it can, you know, anything's possible. I mean, truthfully, I mean, it doesn't take a lot of, you know, of course, we've talked about smaller garden areas, you know, raised beds and all kinds of things like, and I think all this needs to be incorporated. And Zach, I hope this, you know, I hope this works, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that hope this works. Tanya, want to go ahead and reintroduce the program? I think we got somebody on the phone too, but Tanya?
It's probably Annie to do the sustainable events, but yeah, you're listening to the Sustainable Living Show here on WMNF Tampa. Okay. If you have any questions, give us a call at 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. Today we are talking with Zach Correa from Lemongraph about selling and connecting local homegrown food to the local community. I have some more questions for you, Zach, but why don't we bring Annie on so she can talk about...
Tanya, I don't think Annie's on right now. I'm sorry.
Oh, do we have a caller then?
Well, we do have one. We have Joel Cudnow, and he's calling. Joel, you there?
Joel stepped away. I'm Rocco, and I live in a van down by the river.
So nice you're...
Good everyone. And I just want to ask, did you know that right here in town and country Tampa, just near the airport, we have a community-supported agricultural project that's been underway for 27 years, since 1995, that it grows on 3 acres food for our community, of which I'm a member of, and at sells to the community. Did you know that it supports, it gives special discounts for people with food stamp cards, EBT, SNAP program, and it's just north of the airport, just northwest of the airport in Tampa. And we've been cultivating this sacred ground for 27 years. And I brought home produce yesterday that was harvested yesterday morning, and I juiced a quart of it. And it was delightful.
If you want to send us an email, I'd love to learn more about it. Send it to sustainablesafetyharbor@gmail.com, and we can talk more about it later. Thank you so much for letting us know about it, Joel.
sustainablesafetyharbor@gmail.com.
Yep, send it on over, or if you want to message us through the Facebook page, too, that would be great. Thanks for calling, Joel.
Sustainable Safety Harbor. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, Zach, in addition to fruits, vegetables, are there any other goods that you can sell in Lemongraph? And if, let's say there's a mushroom grower or a flower grower or people who have chickens and eggs or plants,
yes.
Limited right now to fruits and vegetables, or are they able to, sell other products?
Originally, we were thinking that we would limit it to just fresh fruits and produce, but we've been getting a lot of interest from local, local raisers of like animals, farmers who raise animals. And they're like, oh, well, I sell my animals to the community this way. I would love to sell on Lemongraph, and we were we had kind of asked ourselves, like, well, why would we limit it? I guess we don't have to. So the answer is yes, all of the above, including nursery plants, mainly because we do see the potential for a lot of growers in the community looking for starter plants to start their own garden. And so they would want to find local nurseries. One of the other things we found is that it's really difficult to find good compost if you're, you know, let's say you're into permaculture and you don't want to buy the stuff from Lowe's or Home Depot, and you want some good soil. So we've realized that providing that as a product on the platform as well could be beneficial to the local growing community. So yeah, I would say all of the above.
Tanya, we have another caller here, Mark from St. Pete. You on the line there, Mark?
Yeah, mainly I just want to give a shout out and say it's a great idea. I grow my own vegetables. I don't have any excess. I got two teenage boys, so they eat it all. But when I was a teenager, I had like an acre, and you know what I did is I went to like these organic kind of like hippie co-op places in Akron, Ohio, and I sold. But this is a lot more efficient than that. I'll let you know, it's a great idea. I'm not so sure, you know, it's going to replace, you know, the way things are done now, but it'll certainly provide downward pressure on pricing and provide competition. So that's my comment.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. And also right now, Annie's on the phone. Annie?
Hey, Tanya. Yeah, I heard my name. I was listening to the radio and went, oh, I better get busy. And called you guys up.
Well, there's been a lot of screw-ups today. So.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of interesting, yeah. So I have all the information, but I did want to make a comment. I love this program that you guys are talking about, and I really like that he just added the information about startup plants because, you know, I do an excessive amount of startups, and I don't have the land to do them all. So I think that's a wonderful idea. So what I wanted to talk about, oddly enough, are farmer markets. So the markets that I was going to talk about was Sweetwater Farm. They have a Sunday market, and they also have workshops. But I wanted to let y'all know about the workshops. There's one January 16th. It's preservation of vegetables at 1 p.m. And on January 23rd, this sounds really good, at 1 p.m., there's a medicinal herb walk with Bob Lynn.
Wow.
And I think that would be a wonderful thing. Yeah. You can go to sweetwater-organic.org. The address is 6942 West Comanche Avenue at 33634. And their sale time, where all the vendors do come, John included, is Sunday at 12 to 3. And there's flowers, vegetables, fruits, eggs, milk, cheese, yogurt, and so on. There's just a ton of think breads, too. There's another, and if you do come, park on Hanley Road, better place. There's also plenty of work days, volunteer days, and farm tours. And the telephone number there is 813-887-4066. And then there's another in SUAC, S-U-A-C. You can type in S-U-A-C, and you'll get St. Pete. And it'll come up with all their information about it. But they have an agricultural educational meeting next Monday at 6:30 to 8 on Zoom, which I love. And more info on Sustainable Urban Agricultural Coalition Facebook page. And then I wanted to also talk about another close-by grower is Meacham Urban Farm, and their tagline is, "We farm, you eat." I love that. It's at 1108 East Scott Street, Tampa 33602. It's really close to Ybor City, and they have everything. They have flowers, veg, fruits, breads, eggs, meats, and a lot more stuff. And they're open on Saturday to from 9 to 1 and Sunday from 10 to 1. And theirs is a local organically produced and freshly picked produce. And they take credit cards, cash, I'm not supposed to say anything about that. That's right. Yeah. One more thing. Hyde Park Village is now having a Sunday market. And that's at 1602 West Snow Avenue at 33606. And Dancing Goat Farm was there last Sunday, so I know there's going to be some good people over there. So that's it.
Awesome. Thank you, Ms. Annie Ellis from the Sustainable Living Events team. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. And you too, John.
Thank you.
Y'all have a great day.
You too, Annie. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Go ahead, so, Tanya.
Back to Zach. From Lemongraph, I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to the Sustainable Living Show here on WMNF Tampa. We are talking to Zach Korea from Lemongraph. Oh, it seems like, there's a little bit of feedback. I think Annie might still be live if we want to hang up. So we're talking about selling and homegrown food and connecting it to local community members. If you have any questions, give us a call at 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. So I do, talking about like the regular normal food systems, I mean, obviously you're giving your money to these large corporations. I feel like when you are doing either these drop-off locations, how does that change where the money goes?
Let me tell you a story here. When we first started this, when we were talking to people in the community, we met a peach farmer in Central Florida. And he told us a story. We met his brother. And his brother said, oh, my gosh, I wish Lemongraph existed because my brother, he's a peach farmer in Central Florida. He needs you guys right now. And he told us a story of what his brother was going through. He said, basically, when COVID started, he got a call from his food broker because this is the typical way that growers, sell food in our conventional supply chain. And the food broker said, hey, I'm not going to buy produce from you this season, so you can just keep it. And the farmer's like, well, wait, you have to. Like, I have to sell that, otherwise I'll go out of business. Like, I'll have to shut down my farm. And he says, sorry, it's not my problem. Hangs up the phone. So the farmer goes to church that Sunday and tells everyone at church, he's like, hey, you guys, you're welcome to come by and pick peaches, take them home free. I just want them to, be used. I don't want them to go to waste. And so he gets another call from the food broker and it says, hey, I just wanted to remind you, those peaches are not yours. They're mine. And if you try to sell any peaches or give away any peaches, I won't buy from you ever again. As a matter of fact, I'll blacklist you. No broker will buy from you ever again. So all these people come to his farm to pick peaches and he has to turn them away. And then the peaches rot on the floor. And so in this, we've been hearing time and time again from people in the community, learning that this is not an isolated story. This is happening all over the place. Fast forward to this story.
Zach, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting a little feedback here. I'm not sure exactly what's going on.
John, you know what? It might be me. So you only have 4 minutes left. Do you want to just finish it up and I will say my goodbye?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Well, it was great. Thank you to all the listeners. And you'll hear from me in another couple weeks. All right.
Cool. Bye-bye, Tanya.
Okay, thank you.
All right. And we got Chris in Clearwater on the line. Chris, you there still?
Sure. Oh. I am. What do you think are the chances or have you experienced price fixing? It sounded like you're describing something similar with the peaches, but for the grocers, I found articles that they decide on a certain price for things, and then they want to maximize their prices so they don't lower those prices, and then they end up throwing away a lot of a certain thing. I've noticed, for example, meat and poultry, especially despite the breakdown in the food chain. They're not lowering their prices on poultry, and they just throw out a great deal of it. What have you heard about price fixing?
You know, I haven't heard anything directly about price fixing, but I will say that it is absolutely possible in our current system. There is somewhat of a monopoly in the food system, and it does need to be decentralized. You know, I mean, with the founding of, or I should say, with the Industrial Revolution, that created the opportunity for organizations to become very centralized in order to maximize profitability. But with the information age, it allowed us to maintain all of the benefits of centralization, but while creating more of a democratic decentralization of the system. And so, the agricultural system has not undergone a change via the information age. So we have not decentralized yet. And so what Lemongraph is proposing is saying, let's finally decentralize this agricultural system and allow for a little bit more freedom to be imparted in the system that would combat certain things like price fixing. But right now, the way it stands, farmers in the system make somewhere between 5 to 10 cents on the dollar for what you spend. On Lemongraph, it'll be 10 times that, at least. And so all the farmers all the growers in the lemongrass community set their own prices. So there will be a true free market. It would be very difficult to price fix on lemongrass. So I can't say what the prices will be, because I don't set them, but I would anticipate they will be lower than what you can get in the currently.
Well, good. I would tell the grocers that you know what's going on. If you are aware of certain things that are being thrown away in high quantities, and let them know. Ask them why this mindset of if I can't have it, then nobody will. I'm going to go to options like you're offering. Let them know that there's competition. So thank you very much. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, we're right at the end of the show. Maybe, Zach, you should give out your contact information about Lemongraft.
Yeah, okay. You can learn a lot more about Lemongraft from our website. That's lemon, like the fruit, graft, graft.com. So graft, like grafting a tree. And you can email us at team@lemongraft.com for any specific information or questions that you may have. We're happy to, you know, if you're a grower and you want more information, if you're a community garden, if you're whoever you are, if you're interested, we'd love to hear from you. Just reach out to us and let us know. Right now, you can sign up as a grower, and then the markets will be opening up soon. If you want to be a host, let us know, and we can manually get you set up as a host for these early releases.
Okay, thank you very much, Zach Correa, and he's with Lemongraft, and we've been talking about local food systems today on the Sustainable Living Show. Kay in Sarasota, I'm really sorry we didn't get a chance to talk to you, but thank you all for listening, and I hope you have a nice week, and we'll be back here next week at 11 o'clock at WMNF Community Radio. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is WMNF Tampa.